Hi, welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the weekly podcast where my guests and I explore what it means and takes to be a kick-ass and kind adult these days. Expect deep, real and raw, as no topic is out of bounds. We want lives and businesses that are profitable, sustainable and fun. We want lives that feel as good on the inside as they perhaps look on the outside. And that means adulting the fuck up. I'm Ebony Allard. I'm an award-winning coach, author, and speaker. And if you're ready to implement, go to n2n365.club. For now, though, let's get on with the show. Yay, we are live. And today is Adulting with Ebony. And I am Ebony. And I'm joined by Nicola Humber of the Unbound Press. And we are going to have a bit of a chat today. So if you're not used to the Adulting with Ebony format, it is conversation between two people about what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in this modern world. And so if you're watching us live, then please feel free to ask questions or reactions or whatever. And if you're on the replay, then we will jump in. And I hope that you enjoy this conversation as much as I know that I'm going to. Nicola, will you give us a little bio? So if for people who don't know you, who are you?
Who am I? Okay. So I, like you said, I'm founder of the Unbound Press, which is a soul-led publishing imprint for magical women who are writing transformational books. And I really believe we can change the world one book at a time. Like each book is a piece of the puzzle that will bring forward the new ways that we are birthing at the moment. And I'm also an author myself, published two books so far, Heal Your Inner Good Girl.
Yeah.
I have to say that really clearly because some people think it's Kill Your Inner Good Girl, but it's Heal Your Inner Good Girl. And my second book was called Unbound, which is how the Unbound Press was birthed as well.
Fantastic. Mm. You have another book coming as well. Mm-hmm. When's that out?
Yeah, that will be out on October the 1st. That's the planned release date. It's called Unbound Writing. It's about writing a transformational book. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, we will put all the links in when this goes out so people can click through and come and find you. The first question I ask everybody, and you know this, but when we have these conversations, I just start by asking, what does adulting mean to you?
It's a really interesting one. Like when you ask me that question, the first word that comes through is trust. It's like trusting myself. For a long time, I think I lived my life based on what I thought other people expected of me, like these perceived expectations. So I followed what I would call like the good girl path.
Yeah.
And it was very, there was something like not adult about it. It was really girlish, like really constantly looking for approval and trying to do the right thing. So as I've been walking this more unbound path and, you know, with that, it's really stepping into myself as an adult. It is about learning to trust myself, like to listen to myself and to act on that. So this, process of trust, self-trust, which is an evolving process.
I love that. And for me, that's why the ing is on that, right? Like it is something that we do. It's something that is active and that is evolving and you know, that isn't static, that we get to adult, which is why it's adulting, right?
Yeah.
In the same way then, what is being unbound? Kind of what does it really mean?
Again, it is a process. I see it as this process of unbinding. Mm-hmm. So for me, being unbound is this journey of continually unbinding myself from any stories or expectations about who or how I should be in the world. And for each person, that's a unique process. We all have our own ways that we keep ourselves bound. So it's like identifying like the often quite subtle ways that we do that and unbinding ourselves. Mm-hmm. When I first started working with that word, I came to it through Danielle Laporte's desire map process. I was tuning into my core desired feelings, and one of them was freedom. I thought it was freedom, but that just felt, I don't know, it wasn't very compelling for me. So I was looking up in the thesaurus, like different words that meant freedom. And like, as soon as I saw unbound, it was like, that just, I felt it in every cell in my body. It's like, yeah, that's my word. Because it was important for me to have that kind of appreciation that something has previously felt bound, and there is this process of unbinding.
A release. Yeah. And, part of freedom for me is the act. So, my world is wild, right? And so it's that same thing of like completely untamed, of being uninhibited and being allowed to grow through the cracks, right? Like, nature is wild and it grows everywhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that it has to have that wild quality. It feels like there's so much potential there. Like, ever since I've started working with like the energy of Unbound, it's like I hold space for what wants to unfold, but I certainly can't micromanage that.
Well, and that's being in the yin space, right? Like allowing yourself to receive the information rather than seeking it. It's the difference between so the yang kind of goes out and seeks, and the yin allows it to come to us. I have a question. So Danielle Laporte's desire map process, or core desired feelings, in my mind it's very similar to the valley filter process, and you've done both. Do they feel similar, or do they feel different to you?
I had never, this is really strange, but I'd never made that connection, which is really strange. Because the value filter, for me, it feels, it has a different quality to it. It feels, it's really hard to put into words. There's something... I'm doing that because
that is like my so that's really interesting, because I had a word in my head while you were saying it. So the value filter process started out, and I created the value filter before Danielle actually, she just released Firestarter, the first book, right?
Yeah.
And so it was about that same time, and I was like, oh, it's too similar, it's too the same, and totally shut myself down and like stopped publishing it, stopped pursuing it, stopped putting it out because they're too similar. And actually then they were a lot more similar, because she has, or the desire map process has multiple words, right? Like, you can have many core desired feelings and in different areas of your life. So you might have core desired feelings around work and relationship, work, and then different one around your relationship and that. And when I started the value filter, there was more possibility for that. And as I have done more and more work on this and refined it, it's become more refined. And so it's become more like a compass, more like an internal compass. And so it's less about you choosing the words and more about them choosing you.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we went through this process when I started working with you, and we had a VIP day. And if I'd sat down and tried to think of my words, I probably would have come up with different words to go for my value filter. But they literally did.
They come through our bodies, right? Like, so again, this is another one of those processes where the value filter landed in me, and then I went and did my multiple brain integration technique and learned these processes about the head, heart, and gut, and had instinctively been asking our head and our heart and our gut for those answers. And it's really interesting how that happens, and how we're all, or many of us, are teaching the same stuff with different words and in a different way. And I feel like that's really important because so many women, particularly women, but all people, so many people are like, oh, I can't do that. I can't stand up and speak. I can't be visible. I can't share my writing. I can't do my thing because it's already been done. And that's not true, because the way that I speak or the way that you speak or the way that you write or the way that we share is unique to us and is going to be uniquely attractive to those people that find us.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear that a lot from the women I work with who are writing books. Mm. And in my mastermind group, I remember there was a conversation. There were a couple of women who were both writing about money. And I think when they both, you know, realised that, there was a bit of fear. It's like, oh, we can't both, how can we both write about money? And it feels like our messages are quite similar. And it's like, yeah, but like the energy, the way you communicate that is so completely different. Mm. Like, you know, I experience it in a completely different way. You could say probably, you know, exactly the same thing and it would be received in a different way. So, yeah.
I have a really, really, really odd example of this. It suddenly popped into my mind and I'm like, I don't know that I should share this, but you know me, I'm going to do it anyway. So I got targeted by some ads recently for an online audio thing called Femtasy. And Femtasy is people reading erotic fiction for you. And turns out you can go in and pay for a day pass, which I did, and listen to 12 different people. So like, I think there's like 8 different men or so this is 16, but like 8 different men, 8 different women reading exactly the same stories. They are entirely different and some work for me and some do not work for me. And that's the point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I always say with, like writing a book, like the words, obviously the words are important, but it's the energy that they're infused with that is going to make all the difference. You know, that's what people connect with. So it's kind of letting go of attachment to those specific words and just allowing your energy, your essence to come through in the book.
I love that. When did you start writing Unbound? Because people may not know this about you, but this is not what you have done your whole life.
No, not at all. I used to work, up until my mid-30s, I worked in finance. I was a financial advisor, financial planner, which just feels like a whole lifetime or many lifetimes.
And it's one of those really strange things, because inside M2M, we have more accountants and ex-accountants and financial planners than anything else. And when I was like writing my avatar, there is not one chance that I would have written, accountant definitely wants to come and work with me.
It's so, oh, I don't know, so strange. Like lots of magical beings must have been kind of attracted into.
Well, money is magic. So
It is, you know, I must have kind of unconsciously picked up on that, but made the decision. I just knew I couldn't carry on working in that environment. And initially I retrained as a hypnotherapist and a coach, which was a completely, like the hypnotherapy thing was a completely intuitive decision. And I thought that's what I would do for the rest of my life or for the foreseeable. But actually that's been an ongoing journey, and I just followed those breadcrumbs of inspiration along the way, which led to me writing my first book, which was all about healing the inner good girl and moving beyond the part of us that just wants to fit in and please others and get it right. And very quickly after I finished writing Heal Your Inner Good Girl, where I first introduced the idea of the Unbound Self, I just knew that I needed to write the second book, Unbound, which was actually the book. Mm. Like the first one cleared the way for the second. And I find that happens a lot for the authors that I work with. And I started working on writing Unbound, I think it was at the end of 2016. So now it went all through the next year. 2017 was just this like hugely transformational year where everything in my life was just turned upside down, business wise, my marriage, you know, everything. I was just questioning everything. But all of the kind of energy of all of that transformation went into the book.
And that's what happens when we become unbound, right? Like I'm promoting Fire and Flow at the moment, which is really about harnessing the magic and the power of being an unbound woman who is fiery and wants to stay in that flow and not burn ourselves out, right? And you can't have one without the other. You can't be completely unbound and free without chaos. It doesn't exist.
Exactly. You know, and that's how I approach like the creative process as well. Like you can try and make it all neat and tidy, but it's not going to be as powerful if you allow kind of that chaos, well, what feels like chaos and the mess. And
chaos has a really bad rep, by the way, because when we hear the word chaos, we go out of control. No one wants chaos. Chaos means you can't move through it. You can't even think. And like my experience of chaos is like, kismet. It's like it's destiny. It's like stardust, like a possibility and limitless potential. And so anyway, chaos gets a bad rep.
I think chaos and like the void, those times when we're just in the both of those get a bad rep, probably because they feel like quite feminine qualities.
Well, they're really uncomfortable, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, neither of them are like controllable.
Not at all. But when we allow those, you know, that is absolutely where the magic is. Mm. And like you said, there's so much potential there. And that's what I experienced a lot of during the year when I was working, writing Unbound. And during that time when I was writing it, I was working with an intuitive mentor. And she kept saying, I keep getting this vision of you working with other women authors and helping women to write books. And I was like, no, that's not me. That's not what I'm going to be. I can't do that. Look at me. I'm a mess writing my own book. How can I help other women to write their books? And then when we were coming to release Unbound, I had a meeting with my publisher and we were in London and he'd read the manuscript and he just said, I can really imagine you doing this, working with other women, helping them write their books, and you'd have your own publishing imprint, and it would be something like the Unbound Press. And as soon as he said those words, I just knew, like every cell in my body just went, yes. So I thought, like, okay, I guess I am meant to be doing this.
And therein is the power of coaching, right? Like we can't always see it for ourselves.
I was pushing it away. I was like, no.
No thanks. That sounds hard. Rather than you mean I just get to be me 100% and share my process and hold space for other people to do the same and to make it easy and to allow them to be in the mess. It's like, wow, that's powerful.
Yeah, it is. And you know, when I was first starting the Unbound Press, I would just wake up in the middle of the night thinking, I don't know how to do this. How can I run a publishing company? I've never done it before, but I've only been on the other side of it. I don't have any experience. But actually, when I just kind of let go of that and allowed myself to be guided and supported, it has been really, there's been a real ease to it.
Yeah. And, you know, I say this most weeks, but there's a real difference between, like, again, easy is not something that people really understand. Because when we talk about easy, we mean being in ease. We mean being in alignment. We mean being in flow. We don't mean no effort. We don't mean numbing out. We don't mean having, like, coasting, right? And so it's not that there's no energy or there's no output involved. It's just that it's in alignment and it's in flow. And so it feels easy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, and there can be challenge, you know, there's still challenges along the way, but there is this, this quality of ease. And, you know, the right people just show up. Like I had a conversation earlier with somebody and she's like, it just feels like she's a perfect fit for the Unbound Press. And she just felt it and I felt it. And she just, there was no kind of like having a pushing of, like having to go out there and look for authors, the right people show up. And
that's a paradigm shift, really, isn't it? Because, you know, even when we very first started working together, there's still a tiny piece of conditioning of like, I need to run around, I need to sell my stuff, yeah. I need to make sure people know about it, I need to build my audience. And like, I have nothing against yang energy or hustle. Like, if that works for you and you love it, if you like going out there and being like, hi, I'm going to tell you about this thing, it's really fun, please do that, right? And yeah. if you're in a place where you want to be the lighthouse and share, and just share from a place of service, then people will come to you.
Yeah. Yeah. This, like, it is very yin, that quality of receptivity. Mm. And also, for me, it feels like the Unbound Press has a like an energy of its own. It's like an entity of its own. So
I feel that way about Misfit.
Even. Yeah. Mm.
Like, Misfit isn't me anymore. Like, it was, for a start, and I imagine that it was the same with you with yeah. Unbound, right? Like, at the beginning, they were so close together that Misfit was me. And I've spent quite a few years separating myself from this company because I can see that Misfit has its own energy, it has its own mission, it has its own goals and ambitions and things that it wants to do in the world. And I want to do other things as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, having a company and being entrepreneurial is this magical journey of trust and faith and adulting, right? Like, I don't believe anything other than entrepreneurship will lead you to adulting in quite the same way.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. For me, there's something, it's kind of a lack of attachment as well. Mm. Like, I'm feeling this more and more with the Unbound Press. I don't have to be really attached to kind of where it's going or how that happens. I can let go of that. And there are other people, like, we're creating this really gorgeous team within the Unbound Press now, and other people can kind of step in to that. And it
makes
doesn't have
me
to
so
be...
happy.
I know.
Yeah. But the thing is, we have to get out of our own way. And you hear people say yeah. that a lot, right? But like, egoically, we have to step to the side and go, oh, you know what? It's okay for it not to be a struggle. Oh, it's okay for it not to be all your singular success, right? It's and it's only when you do that, it's only for me when I was like, no, I think I'm willing to share this,
like, yeah,
that I could.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah, there's something around like allowing yourself to share it, but also allowing yourself to be supported with that, which has been huge for me.
Mm.
Huge, yeah.
Yes, me
there
too.
Was definitely this belief that I had to do it all on my own, and yeah, that's been there a long time.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you know, like, being a strong, powerful, capable woman is very much a kind of an era, right? Like, it was really sold to us in the same way as lots of other things were for me, right? There's lots of stuff if you look at. You know, the body type that I believe is ideal comes from what was on all of the posters when I was in my early teens, right? And has changed dramatically from what is on all the posters now. And that's by the by. You know, these things do change, and they're meant to manipulate and control us. But also this narrative of being a strong, capable, powerful woman who is independent and does everything on her own, there is so much merit in that to a point. And when it's like, do everything on your own and don't be interdependent and don't be in unity, that's where we start to have adulting issues, if you ask me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I see that, you know, not just for me, but with the women I work with. Mm-hmm. When it comes to writing,
yep.
like, I'm so passionate about writing within community
yeah.
because I just see the magic that happens every time, you know, just in the Facebook group, and every time we have a call, one person will say something and then someone comes in with like exactly what the other person needs to hear or receive, or they activate some kind of knowing or awareness within someone else in the group. And it's like, wow, it's just this like spirit of co-creation,
yes.
which is so powerful.
Well, also, you can't be Unbound without being tethered by something, right? So you
yeah.
have to be held, you have to be supported in order to be Unbound.
Yeah.
And so you hold the container for other women to be unbound in the same way as somebody held the container for you to be unbound, because we can't exist completely in isolation. If we want to have complete freedom, we need complete presence. If we want to be completely present, we need complete freedom. Do you agree, or am I just making stuff up?
No, I really do. I absolutely do. I absolutely do agree. And also, this is part of why I love the word unbound as well. There kind of has to be the binding. There have to be places where we feel bound in order for us to kind of notice that. There kind of has to almost be that tension in order for us to have that awareness and to unbind ourselves or not, or to stay. Like in the book, in Unbound, I write about kind of conscious binding when we choose to, you know, be bound in a way that actually feels good for us, and it helps us to get to know different aspects of ourselves. Like for me, like my marriage is that we got married before I started working with Unbound, and, you know, before I was on kind of the path already, but I hadn't gone too deeply into the journey. So when I was writing Unbound, I was like, well, why did I choose to get married? Why did we do this? We had this whole conversation, like, do we want to be married, or did we just do it because it was expected of us? But actually, the awareness we both came to is, no, like, it maybe wasn't a conscious decision when we first made it, but we consciously decided to stay within the marriage and to see it as a way that we both get to know ourselves more deeply.
I have an image of a plant. When we're growing plants, like a clematis, or even the one, I can see a plant over there, and it's been, there's a pole, and I've bound it in support so that it may flourish, right? And sometimes being bound is the support that we need in order to flourish. And it's only when we stop rebelling against that structure or that binding and we allow it to support us that we can grow, that we can flourish.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is. It's kind of letting go of that resistance, which was, you know, definitely there in that always like bubbling up in my relationship, like for both of us. And then when we let go of that, and it's like, oh no, we can really celebrate this kind of, and appreciate this kind of quality of being bound in a really beautiful way where it feels really supportive.
And you guys have like, you spend part of the year in different places, right?
Yeah, which helps.
Well, and that's, you know, for some people that would be terrifying, and for other people that's freedom. And I think, again, we're back in that place of like setting it with intention, being clear on who you are, being clear on what freedom means to you, and creating the containers consciously so that you can experience that, not being afraid, right? And the unbound woman is not afraid to share what she needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And also is not afraid to hear what somebody else needs.
Yes.
And, you know, doesn't kind of get, I'm not saying I never get defensive, because I absolutely,
and also don't. I was going to go, well, I still get afraid, but I get courageous too. So let's correct that.
But it's, you know, willing to hear what somebody else needs. Like, I'll give an example, which maybe I shouldn't. But I will. Like the weekend, I was having a conversation with Mark, and I'm in the States now, but planning to fly back to the UK in August. And he was like, you know, actually, it's been lovely having you here, because we've been spending a lot of time together, obviously, because of lockdown. He said, but, you know, I'm quite looking forward. I'm, you know, looking forward to when you go back in August. And for a moment, I was like, slipped into, how dare you?
Yeah,
like, I'm really hurt by that. And then it's like, well, no, I completely get it. You know, I look forward to, you know, the times when we're apart as well, in different ways. So it's kind of catching those moments when you're falling into those default patterns.
And that's adulting, right? It's allowing, you know, we talk about in Misfit to Maven, we talk about being Maven, and being Maven is, you know, being an expert by experience, holding more than one truth in the palm of one hand, and both things could be true. It could be hurtful that he wants to be without you, whilst at the same time, it can be completely true that having space for both of you is also wonderful and allows the reunion to be even sweeter.
Exactly. Yeah. It's being able to hold both of those. Yeah, that's something I talk about in Unbound, being able to hold that kind of paradox and, yeah, to be okay with that. So
We have one person, I have no idea who it is, who's watching. If you have any questions, please feel free to put them in the comment box or to ask us, because and it will take a second for that to come through. So if you have any questions, let us know. Otherwise, I'm going to ask you whether you'll do an I'm an adult but with me. We haven't done any for a while.
Oh, okay.
So it's just a sentence. I say just. It's just a sentence completion, and it's a bit of fun. I'm an adult, but. Do you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay. I don't even know what's going to come out of my head today.
No.
I am an adult, but I did a service call from my bed today.
Oh my goodness, you've inspired me now.
And the best thing about that was when the other person came on the call, she said, I've just gone to bed to have this call.
Of course. Of course.
Yes, in alignment.
Oh my goodness, what is going to come out of my mouth? I am an adult, but... Well, the first words that come, it just feels too simple anyway. Well, maybe that is it. I am an adult, but I love to play.
Yeah.
And I am an adult, but I can let it be simple. That's what comes through.
I love that so much. So much of unhealthy adulting comes from making it more complicated than it needs to be.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm a master at that.
You and me both. Like,
or you catch me, you're like,
It takes one to know one is all I'm going to say. Yes, people call me out on my overcomplicating. And, you know, I think it's actually an INFP quality. I mean, this is a whole other conversation, but needing to be seen as being clever. So, writing in 18 processes because then everyone will know how smart you are.
Yeah.
So it's the shadow part of my ENFJ. And is, yeah. Anyway, that's a whole other conversation for a whole other day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming and joining us today. I'm going to put all the links in and stuff into the bio when we put this up on the show notes and everything. But if people want to come and find you, where is the best place for them to come and connect?
The best place, like the hub for everything, is my website, so nicolahumber.com. And from that, you can go through to the Unbound Press or social media. So that's the best place.
Great. We will put all of the links in as well. A link into Danielle Laporte and like all of those different things and the value filter and all of that. So everything we've talked about, we'll make sure that we cover. Thank you for spending this time with me. It's such a pleasure to chat with you.
Oh, always, always. Thanks, Stephanie. It's been a joy.
Yay. This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening, for sharing, for rating and reviewing. If you have enjoyed this free content, please take a moment to rate us, to share an episode, to spread the word on social media, or to come find me on Instagram and tell me what you thought. On Instagram, I am at Ebony Allard, and I will see you in the DMs. Bye.